You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Let's have a look at a piece of data from the South African economy which came out today, which isn't a particularly piece of good news, but it's certainly not as bad as we might have expected and as we have become used to in the last few months. Because after dropping from 28 in the second quarter to a 20-year low of 21 in the third quarter, the RMB Bureau for Economic Research Business Confidence Index, the BCI, rose to 26 in the fourth quarter, the first improvement in 2 years. This outcome, it says here, reflects the response of 1,800 business executives surveyed during the first 3 weeks of November. On the telephone now, Chief Economist at RMB, and that's Etienne Leroux. It's a nice bounce back, but off a low base, but we have to take any good news we can get, Etienne.
No, absolutely, Lindy. So, as you say, the first increase in 2 years, and certainly we have to acknowledge that. However, I must quickly add that we have to remain cautious here. A level of 26, as you know, is still extremely low. It is in deep net negative terrain, and it means that the majority of those 1,800 respondents are still relatively pessimistic about things. So we can't dismiss that.
No, we can't. But let's have a look at the details and then we'll get on to the future and the potential future in a moment. But it says here, confidence rebounded in three of the five sectors making up the BCI, that's the Business Confidence Index, namely the building, manufacturing and retail trade. It declined in the new motor trade and remained essentially unchanged in the wholesale trade sector. So let's have a look at the three increasing sectors out of the five. Confidence amongst building contractors deteriorated from 30 to 23 in the third quarter after bouncing back to a still low 31 in the fourth quarter, although residential activity, you go on to say, recovered somewhat after three quarters of extreme weakness. Non-residential building activity remained ever so subdued. So actually I'm going to the negative ones to start with. So let's start with building. It's still a very, very depressing business to be in, I would have thought.
No, absolutely. And also just for listeners, we're not surveying, you know, public companies. We're surveying contractors and subcontractors. Subcontractors obviously being electricians and plumbers and so on and so forth. So 100% right. This is a sector that despite this little bit of improvement in confidence is still heavily depressed. We saw a little bit of a revival and activity on the residential side of things, but nothing to write home about. And on the non-residential market or the commercial property market, activity levels are still heavily depressed. And here we're talking about a sector that has been in the doldrums, as you say, for many, many years. Just general comments here, Lindsay. This sector and most of the respondents here continue to complain about insufficient demand. So in simple terms, there's simply not enough work to go around for everyone. And obviously, when that's the reality, you're also going to see an intensifying or a more intensive tendering competition. So you even get big contractors now tendering for small jobs, and obviously that's now putting pressure on the whole chain. And it speaks to a sector that is still generally weak, and also particularly when you talk about civil construction. I mean, the confidence levels there are extremely low. And one reason for that is, of course, the government. And the government that is seeing its own finances being stretched and have for years been cutting back on infrastructure spending. So obviously that also reflects in the data.
Good time to be a person who wants to build an office or to refurbish their home at the moment because it's a buyer's market. I mean, imagine if you wanted to build a new home, for example, which seems very unlikely in this current environment. But if you wanted to, I imagine you'd probably get 20 or 30 people willing to help you out in that regard. And you could get some very, very keen prices. So maybe it's a chance for some speculators to have a look at that sort of a situation.
The other sector, obviously, that's worth mentioning is the office market, and we know that vacancy rates are extremely high there, and that's also a sector that is now obviously battling from an oversupply and weak demand at the same time. So you can't imagine that respondents doing business in that part of the property market is going to be upbeat.
Let's go to the next sector now. It says, after slipping from 22 in the second quarter to 16 in the third, manufacturing confidence improved to 24. Despite this rebound, you go on to say, confidence remained extremely low, weighed down by, amongst other factors, continued poor production output, and disappointingly weak export sales. So when we see the PMI data, when we see the GDP data, it all points to manufacturing, although not a massive part of the economy, still a significant one, and looking simply awful.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, it's about 12% of GDP, so this sector is obviously not what it used to be in terms of size and importance, but it is still very relevant because it employs a number of people. So, yeah, a sector that continues to battle. So even an 8-point increase in confidence only took the level to 24, which means that give and take 8 out of every 10 manufacturers are still depressed and worried about a number of things. What stands out in this particular sector, Lindsay, is the fact that manufacturing exporters seemingly are really taking strain. And it may be talk to you know, weak global economic activity, slowdown in global trade. Whatever the reason, this part of the manufacturing business is struggling, and they've been struggling for quite some time. Once again, general comments for this sector, 8 out of every 10 manufacturers are complaining about insufficient demand. They have slackened their business. In other words, capacity utilization rates are even falling. And interesting enough, this is the only sector that we ask a political question, and we ask them, you know, do you see the political environment as a constraint on your business? Rightly or wrongly, 8 out of every 10 tell us that is the case. Now, if you take all of those factors into account, it's hard to believe that these guys are standing ready to open the taps to invest more and to employ more people.
So 80%, just before you go on, Etienne, 80% of people say that political factors are an influence on their decision or their response to your survey.
Correct. So 80% of the manufacturers that we survey, not all the sectors and all the respondents, but 8 out of every 10 manufacturers are worried about politics. And whether we believe it or not, they're certainly telling us that directly or indirectly it's a constraint on my business. So they certainly take into account a number of factors when they fill in these surveys, and obviously it gives us some interesting clues as to what's happening in this sector and also in the broader economy.
Okay, retail confidence jumped from 17 to 30 in the fourth quarter, but you say that it merely countered the 11 index point drop in the quarter before. You go on to say, except for durable consumer goods, retail sales generally remained quite weak. However, the imminent Black Friday coming up in 2 days' time and Christmas sales could change the fourth quarter outcome. And before we look back at what you've just surveyed, let's have a look to what happens in January, February and March of next year, because people could load all their buying into Black Friday, maybe even Cyber Monday and Christmas, and have absolutely nothing left. Their tinder will be dry.
And that and 100%, Lindsay, and that is actually what the retail sales statistics have been telling us for the last 2 to 3 years, is that Black Friday leads to a bumper fourth quarter, and consumers bring their purchases forward. In other words, that your Christmas sales and so forth then actually takes a dip because it happens earlier. And then come January, as you 100% described, then there's very little spending power or income to spend, and then your numbers take quite a bit dip. So there seems to be the seasonal pattern that certainly has been developing or is clear in the stats. And I think the Black Friday sales in a way exaggerates those trends.
Yes, it does. What I was going to say was you keep your tinder dry for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, and then January, February, March, it's going to be pretty awful. I mean, that's the psychology. Maybe it'll be different this year. Who knows? But it doesn't look particularly good, although certain of the retail stocks are anticipating a good spending season. I won't call it holiday season because it's not a holiday, really. It's a spending season. Let's have a look at wholesale. Yeah. Wholesale confidence dropped from 42 to an unusually low, you describe it, 29 in the third quarter. Why is wholesale confidence important in your index?
Well, it's an important question. We unfortunately don't have a lot of confidence in these results, and there are two reasons why. The one is that our sample is actually quite small, and secondly, nowadays it's very difficult to actually define a wholesaler, because what often now is that retailers sidestep the wholesaler and go straight to the manufacturer and the producer. So to be honest, we don't have a good handle on what really goes on in this particular sector. But nonetheless, confidence is low. It's 28, the lowest it has been in donkey years. And it also talks to, I guess, what is a broader theme, consumers being under pressure. You see it in the retail, and you also would obviously see it in the new motor vehicle trade sector as well.
Okay, the final one that we've got here is the, before we get to the bottom line, the final one we've got is new motor confidence. New motor trade confidence also fell. Apart from the fact that it's a really, really big ticket item, if you want to buy a motor car in South Africa at the moment with the long-term weakness of the South African rand and the relative underperformance of the South African economy, you really have to be a confident person or a rich person. And also the other thing is, when it comes to new sales, is that cars last so much longer these days. I don't know when the last time you bought a car, Etienne, but I haven't bought a car for years and years because mine just keeps on going and going.
Now, 100%. Do you clearly see this? Say, for example, you know, our colleagues at Westbank always tell me that the replacement cycle of vehicles are just getting longer and longer, and that is exactly what you're saying. So typically, a car is an expensive item. It's typically a discretionary item. And when conditions are tough and the economy is not doing well and people are losing their jobs and consumer confidence levels are low, discretionary spending, this is typically the items that you delay or postpone the purchase of. I can drive my car longer, I can sit on my couch for longer, I don't have to buy a brand new one now. So this is typically a sector that takes a bit of strain. It's also, to some extent, a leading indicator in consumption. I think it is a very cyclical part of the consumer and in the retail space. And we've seen particular weakness in this sector for quite some time. And to be honest, if I look at new passenger vehicle sales or I look at light commercial SUV sales, it's not clear to me at all that this sector has turned the corner.
Your outlook statement is as follows, and this is a direct quote from you. Chief Economist Etienne Leroux of RMB says the following: for us to convincingly conclude that the long and persistent downturn in the RMB BER Business Confidence Index has bottomed out will take not one but several quarters of improvement in sentiment driven by a consistent recovery in underlying activities. Further signs that the worst point of the slowdown in global trade is behind us, coupled with a confidence-inspiring national budget and the successful implementation of the government's new economic transformation, inclusive growth and competitiveness strategy, will certainly go a long way to help make this happen. But all those things are ifs and buts because we've seen it all before, Etienne.
Yeah. Well, on the global story, Lindsay, I do think that the indicators are showing that things are stabilizing. If anything, most of the big international banks are saying that global growth in the second half of next year will actually rebound a little bit. That's good news for a small EM economy like us. Many of our respondents are exporters. And remember, although we don't survey mining particularly, mining will benefit from a rebound in global activity, and miners are important clients for construction and manufacturing. So there would be some spillover effects there. As far as the new growth strategy of the finance ministry is concerned, I make the point there very explicit that the good ideas that's in that plan must be implemented urgently. There must be no delays. And I can report back that some progress has been made. I mean, we're getting a better sense of what the government's plan is with private-public partnerships, with the infrastructure fund. We've seen a little bit of traction on the relaxations of visa regulations and so on and so forth. So there's signs that we're moving in the right direction, but obviously not quick enough, not bold enough, not enough reforms as yet. And hopefully the budget come February next year, the minister can give us a little bit more insight, more detail of exactly what the plan is here and how are we going to get to the 3% and 4% growth that we urgently need in South Africa.
Etienne, thanks so much for your analysis. That's Etienne Leroux, Chief Economist at RMB, commenting on the RMB BER Business Confidence Index released earlier today. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.